AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Rail operations are ramping back up. Farm state lawmakers are starting to discuss 2022 crop and livestock disaster payments. The White House's messaging on inflation and border security, funding for climate smart farming practices, and another stop on Farm Journal's College Roadshow.
Live from a Friday with no notable breeze via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday with panelists Jim Wiesmeyer. I'm good and coffeeed up, so I'll throw in the occasional thought as well. Later, we'll continue with Farm Journal's annual College Roadshow with Dr. Joe Luck from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Right after the news, Jennifer Shike from Farm Journal's Pork I'm Handsome newsman, Davis Nicholson. Now, bring in the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Yeah, baby. We've got kind of a bare minimum panel for today's free-for-all. Wiesmeyer, you, and me.
The Alberta Breeze gave us the brush off today. Well, he's busy doing important things. Yeah.
Oh, he is.
He's got a life, too. He's got a life,
he's
too.
Absolute,
like this weird career thing going on, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
He's documenting very well what is occupying his time on his Twitter account. If anybody is curious, go ahead and take a look at that. All right. Welcome. We are glad that you are here. We're going to get into our final 2 hours of AgriTalk today. And I'm telling you, great conversations coming your way this morning on the free-for-all, of course, and then with Joe Luck. And this afternoon, Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge is going to be along, talk about what's going on in the markets. And we've got a really cool story coming from Jennifer Shike. So let's go ahead and get straight to the news, buddy.
Well, Chip, work is underway to include ag disaster aid for 2022 crops and livestock in an eventual omnibus spending measure that will come in a post-election lame duck session of Congress. No official word yet on the total amount, but USDA has reportedly advised Congress of the likely aid needed. Sources signal a possible congressional tally of around $5 billion.
Yeah, we'll talk about that with Jim coming up here in the free-for-all.
According to Bank of America, consumers spent 16% more on utility payments in August than a year earlier. The U.S. Energy Information Administration said last week it expects retail electricity prices to increase 7.5% this year. That's the biggest percentage jump since 2006. The price of natural gas, which accounts for 38% of U.S. power generation, is up about 70% over the last 12 months. Meanwhile, the European benchmark, you think that's bad? The European benchmark has increased by roughly 240% over the same period, Chip.
Yeah, I just hope that Europe is not, you know, an example of where we're headed.
Indeed. Eurozone inflation hit another record high of 9.1% in August, EU Statistics Office Eurostat confirmed today. When excluding volatile energy and unprocessed food, core inflation jumped 5.5% from a year earlier, up 0.4% from July. The German government said it is taking control of Russian oil giant Rosneft's subsidiary in Germany, citing the need to ensure continued operations at three oil refineries in the country that account for 12% of the country's oil processing capacity. The subsidiary of the Russian oil giant was placed under federal regulatory control today. The move was executed through the German Energy Safety Act and can be renewed every 6 months.
Yeah, the Europeans are starting to see the writing on the wall. I think there is a comfort level with their supplies heading into winter, but there's no cushion. There is no cushion. If it is a cold season and heating requirements are higher than normal, people are going to get cold in the winter of 2022-23. So I think there is a, I don't know, Davis. Is a do you feel a tide shift on attitudes toward energy in Europe and the green efforts?
I can tell you I feel an attitude shift toward bills consumers are paying for energy, and that's bound to show up somewhere.
Right.
When it hits in the pocketbook, then it gets serious.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, the Biden administration said it would send an additional $600 million in arms to Ukraine, including more guided missiles. The U.S. has given Ukraine around $15 billion in military assistance since the beginning of the conflict. The Kremlin warned that if America supplied Ukraine with longer-range missiles, it would cross a, quote, red line and become a party to the conflict.
They said that America was part of the conflict from the very beginning when it said that we don't have a border with Ukraine. We've got a border with America.
Mm-hmm. Well, during remarks in Uzbekistan at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, Vladimir Putin said that Europe had only partially removed sanctions against Russia that are negatively impacting their ability to sell fertilizer on the global market. Russia said it would provide developing countries with more than 300,000 tons of Russian fertilizer stuck in European ports for free.
That's crazy. We'll talk about that more later.
Oh, I can't wait. I got some thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weather catastrophes cost the world $268 billion in 2020 and another $329 billion in 2021. Bloomberg report says if that trend continues, the total during the three-year string will possibly top $1 trillion by the end of 2023.
Three-year string of La Nina and the cooler than normal sea surface temperatures in the equatorial Pacific Ocean.
Yep. Looks like we've got Jennifer. Why don't we head over there?
Yeah, you bet. Let's get to it. Thank you, Davis. We'll talk to you here in a bit on the free-for-all. Let's get Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork, in here. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Doing real fine. Hey, you had an exciting week interviewing new face of the National Pork Board's Myth Busting 2.0 campaign. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, I was excited that I had the opportunity to interview Luke Bryan about his new role in helping pork producers share their story. Yeah. And it was a really cool experience.
Okay. The perspective that you put on why Luke is a good choice for Mythbusting 2.0 is outstanding. Tell us about the 3 points.
Well, one of the things that I like that I asked him was like, what was the worst chore you've ever done on the farm? And he talked about cleaning out a grain bin elevator full of rotten grain. So I think as farmers, we know there's a lot of jobs that aren't very fun. And I think it's great to have somebody who has actually done some of those hard jobs and can relate to what we do. So I thought he was really relatable for farmers. He loves pork. He eats a lot of pork on the road. He can talk pork cuts. I feel like if they're able to say the right cuts, that's a good sign. And he's going to be able to go out there and be a great ambassador. But he also just like really is passionate about making sure farmers are perceived in the appropriate light that they should be. And he thinks there's misconceptions out there and there's some negativity that's falsely based on beliefs that aren't true. And so he just wants to help make sure that pig farmers have a positive voice out there and just be a champion for what they do. And so I think he's going to relate to a wide audience of people, but he's also going to make pig farmers just feel like, you know what, like, someone is out there and sees what we do and is on a big stage talking about it.
Yeah, and his audience is so diverse, from country music to American Idol. It could be a fantastic choice. We'll have to see how it all plays out, but great perspective. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right, that is Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. April Hemis just jumped on. We'll have her part of the free-for-all next.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
You guys.
It's never too early for Timberlake.
Joe and Dave is making lunch plans during the break. They're talking about pork chops.
Pork chop Timberlake.
Welcome back to AgriTalk.
With pork chop.
I'm your host, Chip Flory. It is time for the free-for-all. Let's bring them in. Let's start with April. April Hammes, Iowa farmer. Welcome, April.
Well, thanks. And it was fun hearing that pork story. And it just made me smile with all of the champions we have out there for agriculture. You know, it's great that they highlighted us and us farmers and what we're doing.
Okay. So one of the quotes from Luke Bryan that Jennifer got in the interview, Bryan says this: anytime there's a potential for farmers to be perceived in a negative light, it makes me go to action. Pig farming is a well-oiled machine, especially when you look at how clean and environmentally safe pig farms are and how closely monitored the health of pigs are from the start. It's easy to spread the love for those hardworking pig farmers across the country. Who's not going to appreciate Luke Bryan going out and spreading that?
Exactly. And even though it may be controversial to some people and he might get flack, he's out there promoting it and just saying what we do. We care for our land, our soils, our animals, you know, better than a lot of humans get cared for sometimes. Yeah. Is what I say. These dogs are in, well, you know, controlled environments 24/7.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that, but
that was a perfect start. Well done. April.
In all aspects of agriculture, we do have our champions and I'm very grateful for them.
Excellent. Excellent. Good work. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Jep. Lots going on as usual.
Absolutely, there is. And of course, Davis is going to stick around for the free for all.
Yes,
let's start with the rail agreement. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh stayed at the negotiation table until the two sides reached agreement. You know what? Kudos to Walsh and to the administration for getting involved and getting this done, Jim.
Yeah. You know, so far, so good. Now, we still have to have some votes at an unspecified time, Chip. We don't know when they'll have to ratify the deal, but they've promised no work stoppage, so that's good.
Right. Yeah, it could take weeks to tally all
and
the votes.
And it will. Yeah. Yes, it will.
Yeah. So it's not like we're going to know the results and if the agreement has been ratified or not here, you know, come Monday morning. That's not going to happen. But what we do know is that the labor unions have agreed to stay on the job. And April, what a relief for farmers.
I was just going to say, I was out this morning, and I live, the main line from Weapon Canada down to the Gulf cuts through my farm, and a couple trains went through, and a guy out there with me goes, "Hey, the trains are running." And I go, "Thank God." You know, so it's good to see that, because these things always happen when we need them the most for agriculture. Right. So
that's right. That's right. Davis, this is something that we've been talking about for quite some time. We got to continue to stay focused on it until the signatures are on the dotted lines. But what a relief. And it's not just relief for farmers. I mean, it's relief for all consumers.
It is, because there was talk, maybe we can use just other modes of transport to fill the gap. No. We really don't have that option. So without the trains, things get real slow out there transporting goods.
That's right. That's right. President Biden celebrated at the White House after this one. And you know what? I didn't mind seeing that celebration. It felt like it deserved it. Now, earlier this week, Jim, there was a celebration at the White House for the Inflation Reduction Act. And it came on the day that the inflation rate was reported at 8.3%, a hotter than expected 8.3% year on year, core rate at 6.3%. The expectation was 5.9%. The optics on that, Jim, was terrible.
Yeah, their forecaster in the White House really fouled up, Chip. And also, this tells you now, this inflation is going to be an issue well past the election. And it's got the U.S. equity markets, which was already in a funk, even worse. So I think we're seeing it today. I do want to add in on the railroad first. Yeah. Bottom line, if approved, it could raise the shipping cost as railroads try to recoup their added labor costs, but it could also improve service, which has suffered from capacity and labor shortages.
Yeah.
So, there's the bottom line.
Right.
Well, Jim, I want to go back to something you mentioned about that inflation thing. You said the forecasters really missed it on this one. Is it a case where they already have this whole party planned? We've got all this organic pate. The inflation numbers are out, and it's not that good. But we got. I mean, what are we gonna do with all this pate?
We've already paid the caterer.
Is it too many people in? Yeah. That lawn was filled. So, yeah, I understand. But still, I think this report surprised them to the.
I don't understand at all, Jim.
Yeah.
I mean, April, that was a party that should have been canceled.
Right. I agree. I mean, I just went to the grocery store and got a half a watermelon. And when I rung it up, it was like $12. And I went,
yes! Oh. Yeah.
What size was that watermelon? It sounds like a 30 pounder you got there for $12.
No, the last time I bought watermelon, mm-hmm. I put it on the counter and said, Sue, be careful with that. That's our new investment.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it was a half a watermelon and it was like $8.
Yeah. Try making a 4-egg omelet.
Yeah. Okay. So we're all making a very important point here because what is going on? Is that inflation rate means that U.S. consumers had negative wage growth in August again. And the White House and the White House press secretary, Jean-Pierre, the spin that they are putting on it is that everything is okay. Everything's under control. The rate of inflation is slowing, blah, blah, blah. The reaction from the White House is at best misleading and at the worst, it's a flat-out lie.
It's a flat-out lie. And the core inflation went up, Chip, as we saw. And that means food. And they can look at these gasoline prices, which have, really come down. But look at electricity prices. They can't control them like they can somewhat the, gasoline prices. And you're going to have higher electricity prices.
Meanwhile, nobody can seem to explain from the administration how the Inflation Reduction Act actually reduces inflation.
Yeah, they don't.
It does because it says it does.
They don't even have a card with a list of bullet points that Jean-Pierre can stand up there and
I would have
off.
T-shirts made if there were things. I would have T-shirts made with the bullet points right on them.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like here's a poster of how this helps.
Yep. Yeah.
They got nothing.
So you guys.
And I talked to my daughter, too, and she's like complaining about the interest rate she has to pay on her credit cards and stuff and how it's going up. And I said, that's economics 101. You have high inflation. They raise the interest rates. That's how it goes. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. You know, the reaction from the White House just shows that it does not understand what's happening or. The White House just doesn't care about the impact on the middle and the lower class Americans because you guys, the wealthy will feel the inflation and they'll complain about it, but it's probably not going to change their spending habits. The middle and the lower class consumers feel this crap every day. And the White House, when they threw that Inflation Reduction Act party, was a slap in the face. Wow. But Jim, that inflation rate, it means that we're going to see at least a 3/4 point, or do you think the 3/4 point increase in the Fed funds rate is locked in for next week?
Oh, I think it's locked in, Chip.
Okay.
And this, again, let's connect dots. This is a result of the failure of the administration to get back off of their transitory remarks on inflation and the Federal Reserve. And now the Federal Reserve is digging out of a big hole. You're going to have higher interest rates for longer than anyone thinks, and it could get ugly.
You know, we talked about that with Rich Pawson, Davis. It's the duration. It's just not the height or how high interest rates go. It's the duration in which you have to live with those higher interest rates before inflation is pulled back. And I think Jim just nailed it. I think inflation, as it stands, is going to be sticky, which means that interest rates may have to go higher for a longer period of time than what most expect.
The concept risk of inflating their way out of it was an interesting point that came up that I feel like bears some more discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, when we come back, we may continue that discussion, but we got to get to the disaster aid for 2022 crops and livestock. We'll start there on the free-for-all here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beach, we had a big rally on Monday in reaction to the crop production report for soybeans. Four consecutive lower closes is what we're working on since then.
Yeah, so soybeans, they're still up for the week and still up solidly. But like you said, we've had the bullish reaction to the bullish data on Monday and then just have faded from there. The same is the case in corn, but we're working on a weekly low or a lower close for the week in corn, and the same is the case in wheat. So those two markets have taken it more roughly than what the soybean market has, but really just, you know, bears controlling stuff as we head into the weekend here.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me about what's going on in the wheat market here today.
Well, I think it's just, you know, more of the global recessionary stuff is coming into play. The other thing is that we got a whole batch of weekly export sales data, for the past month yesterday from USDA, and it did nothing but remind us that, demand pretty much sucks. So, I mean, it's no real easy way of
Other way to
that,
put it. Yep, that's right. Okay.
It's just terrible.
Yep. Take us over to the livestock trade. What's going on?
Cattle market pulling back some, both live cattle and feeder cattle. So, just a little bit of a softer tone into the weekend here, but not too much. And then hogs continue to push to the upside. So, we've now seen the cash index firm up, and that ended 5 weeks of persistent price pressure and pretty heavy price pressure. So we had an indication with the futures action that may be happening.
Excellent. Good work, Brian. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
All right, the tempo of that bump music right there is what we've got to have for our final segment of today's Free for All. So let's get right to it. Jim Wiesmeyer, April Hemmes, Davis Michelson, and me are your panelists today. Jim, I want to jump to the Ag Disaster Aid for 2022 crops and livestock that's being discussed right now. What's the bottom line? Where is it going to happen?
Well, it's a little murky now. There will be disaster aid from Congress, but I've been told that USDA still has about $3 billion that they haven't used from prior ag disaster aid. Now, how much of that $10 billion they have left over relative to the phase two for either ERP or ELRP still remains to be seen, Chip. But I see a difference between the administration and Congress as far as how much disaster aid we'll eventually see.
Okay. You know, 2 weeks ago when we talked with Senator Grassley about this, the increase in aid above the 1.5 in the supplemental spending request from the White House, his reaction was, that's what crop insurance is for. But when you look at how much pressure the livestock industry has been under because of the drought in cattle country, I can see where an argument might be able to be made for some additional aid.
Well, it also aid for rice growers in California and the Southeast, Chip. I think that they have not been treated equitably over the past few years by myself.
Okay.
Right. And I was just reading a story, and it says there looks like they're going to kick it down the road because they're concentrating on not shutting down the government first. So, you know,
yes, it'll be part of the end of year omnibus spending bill. Right. It won't be part of the stopgap spending bill.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, very good. Very good. Senator Ernst from Iowa told us on Tuesday this week that she thinks the reports of the Russian retreat are accurate. Jim, what does this all mean?
Well, it means that Putin in talks, personal talks, hand to hand with Xi Jinping, China's leader, he heard from Xi Jinping. We didn't get the complete readout, but let's just say Russia is now a junior partner with China right now. That's the best way I can say it.
Wow.
Yeah. You know,
this thing, but the downside, Chip, is if he feels like he's cornered, and I think he is, what will Putin do?
Right. That's the scariest part.
Yes, it is.
It is, but I hate living in fear like that. Are we going to let that dictate everything? I don't know.
Right. No. No, you can't
and
do that.
And they've lost a lot of storage, too. I was reading that. They've lost a lot, for like 58 million metric tons of storage Ukraine has for their
Ukraine has lost. Yeah, there's a big account. There's a report that we linked to in ProFarmer.com. And it's a must reading thing because it's very eye opening of what the damage, far more damage to the Ukraine ag sector than people realize.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and we've been talking about Ukrainian grain shipments for quite some time. But now there's reports that there's still 82 ships that remain stuck in Ukrainian ports. It has not cleared the system as many thought it might. So this is tough. And now what are these reports about Putin ready to give 300,000 metric ton of fertilizer that are stuck in European ports to the developing world for free? I have no idea what's happening there.
This is the optics, Putin. Remember, he stressed developing countries. That doesn't mean developed. So this shows you how much he's under the gun from a world perspective, Jeff.
Right. Davis?
Well, yeah, here's the way I look at this. Okay, this came out of that meeting at the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in Uzbekistan with China. If you look at what's going on, you've got, call it the Western world, Europe, the United States, hamstringing themselves on energy. Energy is power. Yeah. So now you've got Russia and China who perhaps see, I mean, basically what you're looking at here is them trying to draw allies to their way of life.
Yep.
With energy crisis, 40% increase in energy bills in Europe. And they're saying, hey, look, we've got a better way. You don't want to go to the organic fertilizers that, you know, that are going to save the planet. Okay, we'll give you this stuff for free. Yeah. I think they're working on building an alliance here with this, and I think it's a great way to do it because, I mean, it's coming down to the Red Menace versus hippie idealists, and I think that they're going to play on that.
it's going through their stomachs is what you're talking about.
Absolutely. It's going through their stomachs, their pocketbooks, and they're saying, look, we've got a better way. We're not afraid to pump oil. We're not afraid to burn coal, and our lights are still on.
Yep. Yeah. It is going to be something that we obviously have to watch very closely going forward. You guys, it seems like everybody got a piece of $2.8 billion in funding for climate smart farming practices. And Jim, ranking member Representative Thompson from Pennsylvania on the House Ag Committee isn't much of a fan of how this money's being spent.
I'm in his camp. Now, I'm not saying some of it's not needed, but whenever you throw that much taxpayer, by the way, money at something, there better be checks and balances. I fear there will not be.
And that's the deal on this, April. I mean, there's lots of good ideas that
talking
are
talking about my Iowa Soybean Association now.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, exactly. Exactly. There are a lot of worthwhile projects that are funded through this with a lot of money. But it's going in so many different directions. I don't know how the oversight is going to be done on this.
I agree that oversight's going to be very important. And I know with the Ag Outcomes Fund, that is the Iowa Soybean Association, and they get like $95 million. And we had a long talk about that. But a lot of that money, I know it's over 70%, almost 80%, will go back to the farmers doing the climate smart ag. So,
and ASA has a good history of fulfilling that. I will have
that's a
very
good
history.
And then to add to the Pennsylvania congressman or senator, I can't remember. We were telling the story about that, and he was so against it. And then they went up to him and said, you know, Pennsylvania is part of the Ag Outcomes Fund, and we're in that state. And he goes, great, now I have to change my narrative. So,
oh, geez. Oof.
I know.
Wow.
So there's always another side to the story.
Yeah.
So, but I agree. You want to spend these dollars wisely and make sure they're going to good use.
Yeah. And hey, full disclosure here, Trust in Food, which is part of Farm Journal, got one of the grants as well.
Good.
Okay. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done to make the investment worth its while.
Yes,
but
it's all well and good if it's followed up on. All well and good. So fulfillment is a big thing, Jeff.
Agreed.
That's
totally.
That is absolutely right.
Chip, I wanted to add two really quick market things. On the inside of page 3 of Pro Farmer this week, I think they have one of the better items I've seen in years. It's price action. It looks like it's repeating the 2010 to 2014 period in corn and soybean markets. To me, it's a must read. And
fascinating.
Some of my best market sources are telling me Pakistan's wheat crop, it's not just lower, it's a lot lower than industry and USDA estimates suggest. If that's the case, we could have another bull market run in wheat.
Wow. Pakistan's in deep trouble right now.
Oh, it's terrible.
With the flooding, and now they're talking about a food disaster and disease. I mean, the whole thing.
Oh, it's an absolute mess. I mean, there is a reason that the wheat crop was planted where it is, and that's because it's got a better chance of getting water in the lower-lying areas.
That's right.
Well, those lower-lying areas, a lot of it is flooded as we speak. So, okay, real quick. Growth Energy had their summit in D.C. this week, and Jim, EPA Administrator Michael Regan, is saying a lot of it's things that he told us when he was on AgriTalk a while ago, but he's saying them again. He's back on record with some very positive things for ethanol.
Yes, I just hope he follows through, which he has been. So far, so good. And if we have multiple years to plan, that's just very good news for the biofuel proponents, both corn-based and biodiesel.
Yep. Yeah. First things first, he wants to get year-round E15 permanent, which is which I think would be a big win for the
industry.
At
least with 8 states or whatever. Yeah. So I think he's smart by going the state approach first.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Real quick, when are we going to refill the SPR, Jim, and at what price?
There was a Bloomberg report. They would start filling it once the price went under $80 on the WTI U.S. crude. But then the Department of Energy came out and, disputed that, saying they don't have a trigger point.
Right.
And two, it looks like it won't be in fiscal year 2023, Chip, which ends at the end of next September. So to answer your question, unknown at this time. It will be refilled. But interestingly right. so, the Democrats, when Trump wanted to refill portions of it, would not let him do so when energy prices were in the 20s, Chip.
The crude oil prices, yeah. We're crude down to 24 prices. Bucks. Yeah.
Yes. So that's just perspective. Just it's political.
And they're being political not only with, in a fight is better than an agreement is the attitude that they've got. But when they're dealing with stuff like this, they're dealing with my pocketbook on a daily basis. And I don't know. My wallet is thin enough, dudes. I don't need them doing that. You guys were great. April, thank you so much for jumping on here.
You bet.
No, all right, anytime. Jim, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you sure. Monday morning. Signal to noise, 8:15 Central Time.
Absolutely.
All right, Davis, stick around, buddy. We've
standing
got
by.
Joe Luck from University of Nebraska up next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN, where for a limited time, new customers can save an extra 5% on AgSaver glyphosate. Visit fbn.com/direct. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's time for the Farm Journal College Roadshow. Tyne Morgan was in Lincoln this week with U.S. Farm Report. She's going to have a full report of what is happening in the College of Ag at the University of Nebraska as they get set for a renewed rivalry game when they take on Oklahoma tomorrow. Let's go to Lincoln right now for a conversation about what's happening there with Dr. Joe Luck. He is an associate professor of biological systems engineering, precision ag engineering, and is an associate director of Eastern Nebraska Research there in the Extension Service. Dr. Luck, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
Hey, Chip. Been doing pretty well. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to get to chat with you and the folks. So
I love it. Love that. All right. Hey, Joe, it has been a difficult growing season in Nebraska. What are you learning? What did you learn from this year?
Well, yeah, it's been a long year out here. It started off with high prices for crop inputs, specifically nitrogen, which is, critical out here. So that started early, late in last year, early this year, a lot of conversations. We had kind of a crazy up and down growing season. Late frost this year hit a pretty good swath of the Platte Valley. We had some major hailstorms go through. And then, of course, these last couple months, we just can't seem to buy a drink of water on the rain side. So, yeah. Yeah, we've had some kind of late season moving toward the D word, drought out here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what about water management and so on? I know that that is a big concern in the state. Are we making any progress in doing a better job of that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've got, you know, Nebraska is so unique with the natural resource districts out here, the structure that they put in place many years ago, getting more and more people kind of dialed in on what are some of the best management practices using, you know, sensors, you know, data-driven techniques. We've had a lot of, you know, companies interested in that are providing some of those decision support tools to farmers. So I think on the irrigation side of things, folks out here just get better and better each year in terms of managing their water that they've got and trying to preserve that resource for the future.
Very good. Very good. Okay. What have been some of the unique questions from growers this year on how to manage the challenges that they had?
Yeah, well, we continue to see people, you know, I mentioned the frost issue, hurt a lot of the soybeans early in the growing season, the hail issue. People are asking questions about how can I use data to make decisions. So that's kind of what we classify that as digital agriculture. And people are curious, you know, how can we take imagery and not just use it as a picture, but take that image, understand what's the damage to the crop and how can I turn that into a decision? Do I need to replant, partial replant, you know, some of those things. And so we're seeing a lot of activity in that area. And it's great to see, the innovation there to go from just having that image to actually saying, yeah, this is the potential for improvement if you were to follow that decision out.
Dude, that is putting technology to work in a good way, in a very productive way, efficient way.
Yeah, that's what we want to see. You know, there's just so much potential out this way. If you think about the nitrogen, you know, we're continuing to push more and more people to try in season, you know, we call it responsive nitrogen management, using sensor data and analytics to make those decisions and put the nitrogen where it's needed at that time and not use it when it's not necessary. I mean, that's a huge, not just economic potential, but huge environmentally for us out here. So,
yeah, that is progress that needs to be made. And we are making progress in precision ag and so on. What is the status? Where are we compared to a year ago? And how much room is left for improvement?
I think there's tons of opportunity out there. We continue to see, I just focus on data. We continue to see companies understand about how do you take all the, you know, ag is a tough space. You have these desperate, you know, time of data collection, spatial resolution of data. We have all these different kind of data sources out there. How do we pull those together in a system or systems where we can feed those, you know, I call it analytical decisions, but it's you know, analysis driven. We think in the future about things like machine learning and artificial intelligence, pulling those data systems together so we can get all that information we need. I think there's just a ton of innovation in there, and it continues to move forward today, not just in our academic space, but also in industry. So
yeah, what an exciting time. When you look at the advancements that are being made and you think about the leaps that we are going to make in the use of that data going forward, it's just fascinating. Hey, Joe, give students that are looking for an ag program a reason to consider University of Nebraska.
Sure. We consider ourselves just kind of right smack in the middle of the heartland in terms of, you know, the next level of digital agriculture. We are co-creating tools, these digital support systems for decisions for farmers, commercializing those tools and getting them out there for farmers to actually use, you know, that could be accessed and used. We have a connection with you mentioned our Eastern Nebraska Research and Extension Center in particular here, where we're using that as a data source. I mean, it's a scale production operation. We want to be able to translate that to farmers. And we just have a ton of opportunity for for students, a new program out here, Ag Systems Technology. That's a 4-year program for students to get hands-on experience with this. And I might just mention quickly the Husker Robotics cluster. I don't know if anybody saw that news recently about the BBB program, but that's going to be a huge opportunity for students to learn about and get skills in the workforce for robotics and agriculture.
Fantastic, man. That is really cool. Dr. Luck, thank you so much for making time for us. Good luck this weekend.
Always a pleasure, Chip. Really appreciate it.
All right. You bet. GBR, I'll go with you this weekend. That's no problem. Thanks for listening this morning. And thank you to Bex Hybrids for making the College Roadshow possible. We really appreciate that. Come back this afternoon. Ted Seifert, Zane Rag Hedge.